Next two verses. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, the amount of fishes which he had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to them, fear not, from now on you shall catch men. Okay, thank you. That's all. Okay, I want you to just think about this story a little bit. I want to just remind you, before some of you may not realize, that this is actually the second time that Peter was called out of his boat. The first time is when Jesus was walking along the shore and he called Peter and said, come and follow me. And then they went to Peter's Peter's house, and his mother-in-law was sick. Does everybody remember that? Everybody realize that Peter's mother-in-law lived with him? Quite a man, eh? Anyway, it's not the point. And so she was sick. Jesus healed him. And this you can follow in Matthew chapter 4. But then later, this story comes. This story comes, if you read the whole of Luke there, after his mother-in-law is healed. So this is the second time Peter is in the boat, and it's the second time Jesus calls him out of the boat. And I want you to see the reality here. Typical Jesus move is he gets in the boat with him. He gets in the boat with him, but he has no intention of staying there and no intention of allowing Peter to stay there either. I want to just encourage you that just because Jesus has found you the way you are, he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. Did everybody hear that, other than that phone ringing? Just because Jesus found you and accepted you the way you are, he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. So therefore, he'll get in the boat with you because he understands your situation. He understands what you were like. Let's describe Peter a little bit. Most of people know Peter pretty well in the Bible. He was a rough man. Hallelujah. He was contentious because he argued with Jesus more than anybody else who wasn't a Pharisee. He was definitely antsy. I mean, man, when it time to get push came to a shove, out came his sword and he started cutting ears off. Peter was ignorant. I want you to know this because the Bible very clearly says in the book of Acts that that Peter and John, when they were arrested, it said that they were ignorant and unlearned men. Somebody say ignorant. Ignorant. Somebody say unlearned. So he spoke of them and said they're ignorant and unlearned men. And then it says, but they marveled because they'd seen they'd been with Jesus. I want to say this to you. Too many times in the kingdom of God, we use ignorance as a mistake. Can we stop it today? Can we stop it today? Can you stop telling me what you don't know and start making a decision to find out about what you don't know? In other words, the scripture is very clear in 1 John 2:27 when it says that you have an anointing that abides in you and that will teach you all things. And I know as a pastor that I'm used often as a scapegoat. I can say this on pastor's appreciation. Oh, you're not going to tear that check up, are you? That I know how I'm used as a scapegoat when people don't know something and blame me. I want to encourage you. It is my responsibility to tend the flock and feed the flock. My responsibility is not to do it for you. And this is an essential. You've got to get this. You've got to understand this. Those people who try and blame the pastor and pass the buck onto the guy who ain't a buck, we need to understand this because it's God has already done a great work by doing what? By dying, being resurrected, by ascending, and by sending his spirit that will live and abide in everyone who believes. So therefore, each and every one of us can have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Why am I so confident? Because Jesus said, the sheep hear his voice. And if you are a sheep, then you can hear the voice of the shepherd. So here we have this story, the second time Peter's called out of the boat. But there was another time he was called out of the boat, remember? Because on that journey, part of his journey was crossing over in the time of a storm. We, most of us know this story, but I want to remind you, Jesus will never ask you to go anywhere without a promise. In other words, he clearly said, let's go to the other side. We will, all of us, go over the other side. The fact that they slept on the boat and they got in a storm is not the point. I want to encourage you that part of your journey is realizing that when you get on a vehicle, especially a vehicle like a plane, I know sometimes I was taught three or four years ago when, who was it? Rich Caliendo was following me to a conference. And when we got there, he was like, I thought, what's the matter with you? He said, you ever try to follow you? I went, oh, you mean I change lanes a lot? He said, change lanes a lot. Because when I drive, in those days, I've changed, but in those days, oh, that's an interesting word. Try that one. I've changed. Don't matter. So I used to drive through the crowd and go, oh, let's get, and of course, he's behind me and somebody's trying to follow him. And that's a very difficult thing. But have you ever been on an aeroplane when that kind of thing happens? I remember once I was flying to Africa and we'd just taken off from Kenya and from Nairobi Airport. And as we took off, we were almost at full altitude. And it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe 5:30 in the morning. And as we're going along, I'm looking out the window. And one of the greatest sights I've ever seen in my life, Mount Kilimanjaro. I've got a young lady here this morning from Tanzania. She knows what Kilimanjaro looks like. But I saw it from the air. And it was a beautiful, clear day and the sunrise. And it was just, I looked at Mount Kilimanjaro. And it was the most, I was sitting at a window seat and I'm looking at it just overwhelmed at the beauty of God's creation. And suddenly the plane goes, and I'm looking at the ground. Have you ever been in that experience when you're in a 707? It's all right if you're in a Cessna, you can get that. But when you're in a 707 and there's 250 people on board and you're suddenly looking at the ground, something happens to your heartbeat. It gets very fetal. And if you don't know, that's twice the speed of a human, right? A fetus is a human, don't get me wrong. But the reality, my heart is, and I'm looking at the ground, man, and saying, the annoying thing is most people didn't wake up. You see, and you know what it's like when you're in a turbulent situation and you feel like you're the only one and suddenly yours going, and everyone's going, what the heck's the matter with you? You know what I'm saying? Because they, and of course, thank God we were flying British Airways.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Just want to explain that we are in the vortex of a Boeing 747 and we took our air away. Thank you.
I thought, that's it? That's your explanation? I nearly have a heart attack. And the reason is we were stuck in somebody else's vortex. Now, I want to encourage each and every one of you, if you are following somebody else's vortex, you won't fly. You've got to find your own breeze, your own wind. You've got to find your own understanding of the call of God upon your life. Yes, I know the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. I understand that. But on the journey in life, often, especially if you're following someone bigger than you, suddenly you feel like the wind has gone out of your sails because they have a vortex. They know where they're going and your insecurity causes you to suddenly do this. Don't panic if there's turbulence. Don't panic when there's turbulence. And don't suddenly turn around to Jesus and say, King James, wait for it, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you love that? That's one of the great lines of the Bible. Carest thou not that we perish? No wonder we don't read that so often these days. Anyway, and Jesus wakes up and says, are you talking to me? What? Peter, hello? You see, there's times you're going to be in a storm and you forget Jesus is with you in the storm. There's times you're on another journey. The story going down the Emmaus Road. As you're going down the Emmaus Road, some of you may not know it. After the resurrection, two men walking down the Emmaus Road, going in the wrong direction. They're going from Jerusalem. And they're sad and they're desperate and they're disappointed. I want to encourage you. I don't care what your disappointment is. Jesus will draw alongside you. All flesh is as grass. And the Bible says, have no confidence in the flesh, including and especially your own. This is why the Bible says that we are to know no one according to the human point of view. Because if all we're doing is following flesh, when that flesh begins to, when you get too close to relying on that flesh, the air is going to come out of your wings and you're going to find turbulence you might not be able to handle. So they're walking down the Emmaus Road and Jesus slips up alongside him. And I say, what's up? He says, you know, what are you stinking miserable about? What's the matter? Change your rotten attitude, man. They're saying, haven't you heard? Are you the only one around here who doesn't know what's happening? He was the only one around there that knew what was happening. Read the story, Luke 24. In fact, so many times when you're going through things in life and you're walking in the wrong direction, you're walking away, suddenly you say to Jesus, oh, how come you don't know what's going on? He's the only one who does know what's going on. But you can't see him. You know why? He went to go past. They came to an inn. They'd had enough. They were tired. He just started walking. Oh, come, please. No, man, come. No, what you were saying was great. Come. And it says they constrained him not to go away. And I want to tell you something. If you're going through a mess, you must constrain Jesus. I want to say this. Not your husband. Not your wife. Not your pastor. You must constrain Jesus. And it says he came in with them, and when he broke the bread, their eyes opened. You see, if you're not seeking God, if you're not seeking Jesus through the Word as your prime source, somebody say prime source. If you're not seeking Jesus through the Word as your prime source, your eyes will not open when you're walking in the wrong direction. That was a good point. I think we should have paused for that one. Thank you, Jesus. Peter was a rough man. Peter was a fighter. He was arguing. He was contentious. And I want to say this. I've been watching men now for a long time. Men, some of them manifest their anger. I always used to. And I've seen other men that manifest their anger. And most other men, not all of them, because we do have some Nathaniels in our midst that don't get angry. But some men suppress their anger. They're just as angry as Peter. But you never see it until they go postal. Can you hear me? Is there anybody out there this morning? Suddenly the smallest thing, and they break. And they just go off. And I want to tell you something. Don't suppress your anger. That's nonsense. Don't suppress it or express it. Deal with it. Anger is something that is in our character. God has anger. He is love, but he has anger. So I want to encourage each and every one of you. So Peter is in the midst of this strange walk that I like to identify with him because, you know, he was a fighter. He was opinionated. He was ignorant. He was unlearned. He'd argue with God. I mean, you know, nobody could argue quite the way Jesus did with Peter, right? No, don't do that! You know, there's Peter reinventing salvation, you know? Like, you want me to point at people who do that in here? People who reinvent salvation. There is no salvation your way. There's only salvation Jesus' way. And you know what? When we try and reinvent salvation, do you know what Jesus calls you? Death. Satan. When you reinvent salvation, Jesus calls you Satan. He doesn't call Satan Satan. He calls you Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan, because you mind the things of man, not the things of God. Right? Of course, everybody, but when I start doing that to you guys, I know you're going to leave the church, but it's okay. We'll work on that. But the reality is that Peter went through all these experiences of his own flesh, and yet he got the greatest revelation of all times. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah, man. You're every single promise of God encapsulated in one man, you. Peter was a guy who couldn't leave Jesus. Peter was a guy in John chapter 6, as you know, when some of the disciples began to leave. If you're into numerology, did you know there's only one chapter and verse 666 in the New Testament? John 666 says, and from that time forth his disciples turned and followed him no more. Interesting. Disciples. And so Jesus turned to Peter and said, well, are you going to leave? And here he goes, Peter again. Yeah, right. Where are we going to go? You're the only one with the words of eternal life. I'm stuck. I'm stuck on you, and I'm stuck with you. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't go anywhere else. And as tough as it is, you are the only answer to every rotten problem in my life, every rotten attitude in my heart, every rotten element of my life, but I know you can change it. I know many men who love Peter, but do you remember when Pastor Andy on Thursday said, don't follow the Peter of the Gospels, follow the Peter of the Book of Acts. Do you remember hearing him saying that? Well, I'm taking it one more. Follow the Peter of the epistles. Nobody could write like Peter, man. Nobody could write. That he actually had the heart of a poet, the heart of, as the Bible says in Psalm 45, his tongue was the pen of a ready writer. He went from an ignorant, angry, ambitious, covetous, contentious man to a beautiful author and a poet. And the man who said such beautiful things like, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him who's called you by his glory and his virtue. He talked about so many things. You see, until you follow Peter in the epistles, for God's sake, don't follow the Peter of the Gospels. Don't follow that Peter, man. You're just going to hit a vortex. If you follow that Peter, you'll have nothing but turbulence. You'll have nothing but just your life will be up and down. It'll be just shaky. Life is a journey. And I want to ask you, where are you on your journey? Do you want to pull that door shut now, Zach? All right, thanks. Where are you on your journey? Reinhard Bonnke, a great German evangelist. I don't know if you've heard of him. Who's heard of Reinhard Bonnke? A great German evangelist in Africa most all of his life. Done an awesome, awesome job. And with his thick German accent, which I won't do, he used to say, if you can't get a plane, then get a train. And if you can't get a train, then take a bus. And if you can't take a bus, then get a bicycle. And if you can't get a bicycle, walk. And if you can't walk, lean in the direction that you want to go. And I want to tell you, I don't know where you are on your journey, but are you moving forward? Are you at least leaning in the direction that you want to go? Or are you just digging into your own stubbornness? Are you in that part of Peter that I don't like? The part of the Peter in the Gospels where he won't get out of his boat. He won't stop doing what he's always done. Once Jesus said, follow me, okay. He gets back out in his boat. And then Peter gets in the boat with him this time. He says, okay, Peter, that's nice. Cast the net over there. Okay. And he gets out and says, oh, please leave me alone. I'm a sinful man. Okay, you are now, Peter. But that ain't where you're going, buddy. That ain't the end of your journey. Don't focus on Peter's faults. Focus on his destination. And so, another time, as you know, Jesus is schlepping across the lake. He missed the boat, like most Christians. And he's walking across. And then Peter, another one of the great questions of the Bible. Lord, if that's you, who the heck do you think it is, Peter? What? Bid me to come. And I love this, the greatest call in the Bible. Come. Huh? How many of you heard the other week when I said, if you want to know the will of God, you've got to sign a blank piece of paper? You see, that's what he's saying. If you want to get out of the boat, you have to sign a blank piece of paper. And then God will begin to write on it for you. But until you're willing to hear that little voice and come, then you're not going to know the will of God. Peter got out, but what stopped him from walking? Actually, he did walk in the water. What stopped him from being a complete success and navigating that turbulence again was the fact that he turned his head. He turned his head when he saw the wind. When he saw the turbulence, he began, oh, Lord, save me. I'm here. Okay. And then Peter again, the great Peter, with the great revelation who the Christ was. And yet that great revelation was the one that he said, okay, I'm with you. Nothing's going to stop me. The Peter determination. Ain't worth spit. Because suddenly he goes, you're a chicken too. That's what that cockerel was saying. I just made that up. That was good. That's what he was saying. You're a chicken too. Denying women 1, 2, and 3. Too much? Yeah, too much. Alice is giving me a funny look. So here we have the toughest guy, one of the toughest guys in the New Testament, can't even face a woman. Right? She was even said she was a little maid. Oh, aren't you? No! Not that I've ever felt that way, of course. But again, it was a look of Jesus that changed him. It was a look of Jesus. And when Jesus was resurrected and rose, remember when he sent a messenger? He said, tell the disciples and Peter. I just love that. He didn't say, tell the disciples and Peter and James and John. He said, tell the disciples and Peter. Don't forget Peter. I know he's the one that blew it. It doesn't matter. I know he's an ignorant, unlearned man. It doesn't matter. I know he likes swords. It doesn't matter. I know I can't get him in that stupid boat, but it doesn't matter. Tell Peter. And where was Peter when Jesus was up in Galilee, according to? In the boat. In the boat again. He made the great statement that you probably heard in Forrest Gump. I go a-fishing. And he gets in the boat, goes fishing again. Again, doesn't recognize Jesus. Why? He's depressed. Come on, saints, you can't see Jesus when you're depressed. Help me, somebody. He's there, but you can't. He's even fixing your lunch, your breakfast, but you can't see him. You know why? Attitude does this. Because I don't care if you're in a boat, I don't care if you're in a plane, I don't care if you're in crisis, I don't care if you're in debt, I don't care if you're sick, I don't care what is going on in your life. Jesus is right there with you and you can't see him. He said he'd never leave you forsaken. What part of that don't we understand? And so, eventually John, I mean, John's got a revelation now. Because John was one of the other guys, remember? His name, by the way, means son of thunder. So we have attitude problems with disciples. I understand that. He, a son of thunder. You say, no, it was John the Beloved. No, it was John the son of thunder. Because when they're walking through Samaria and the Samaritans didn't want Jesus, John said, can we call fire down from heaven? Can we? Can I call fire down from heaven? Kill this lot? Can I? That was John the Beloved. Can you imagine what John the Misery Guts was like if that was John the Beloved? And it was that John at the Last Supper, you may remember, when suddenly Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And Peter said, who is it? Now, he knew he couldn't ask Jesus because he knew Jesus wouldn't tell him, right? So he said, John, tell him, who is it? Who is it, mate? John couldn't care less. Who is it, Lord? When you go, oh, okay. He didn't tell Peter, but see, sometimes God ain't going to tell you. And he's just going to check out how frustrated you're going to get. Instead of just trusting him. Instead of realizing he's in the boat with you. Instead of realizing he's on the Emmaus road with you. Instead of realizing whatever situation you're in, he's with you. Might not be able to see him, but he's there. So eventually, Peter, we have the great day where, as Andy preached on Thursday, he went from a -3, which was denying the Lord 3 times, to a +3,000. Because a few months later, he preaches and 3,000 people come to the Lord. And he's no longer a mere man. Can somebody say mere man? You see, what happens is when we are getting into strife and misery and unforgiveness, we're acting like mere men. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it was part of the message. It was the message Thursday night. We have got to stop acting like mere. You're not a mere woman. You're not a mere child. You're not a mere teenager. You're not a mere man. You are someone who's been created in Christ. And you're on a journey with him to discover the destination. And the destination is not Peter. It's Jesus. Okay, let me just throw in a couple of things if I can take a few more minutes. Okay, life is a journey. First things first. If you're going on a journey, don't tell the travel agent where you're going. Tell them where you're going from. Okay? I don't want to go in a travel agent and say, or phone up these days, who goes in a travel agent? You don't want to phone up, you know, oh, I want to go to Livingston, Zambia. Where are you leaving from, sir? Oh, sorry, Newark, New Jersey. See, Newark, New Jersey. You ever been to Newark, New Jersey? Exactly. Thank you for that reaction. See, I don't like Newark, New Jersey too much either. Thank God for the residents of Newark, New Jersey. But I heard a little when it came to Newark. See, and how many of us are in that place? How many of us are in Newark, New Jersey? Don't want to be here. Get me out of here. But until you admit where you are, you ain't getting out of there. Come on, saints. You can live in denial all you like. But if you're living in Newark, New Jersey, and say, oh no, Newark's very nice, thank you very much, I like this boat, and you are not getting me out of it, not once, twice, three, or even four times. Was that too? But that was better, wasn't it? That was better. And you've got two daughters sitting there as your judges. They, do you know they sit there the whole time going, that was a 6.2. I spit in my Bible. Okay. So we need to know where we are. Now, what's the other thing we ought to know? There's all kinds of things like vaccinations and stuff, but I realize that, you know, malaria tablets. And in other words, you've got to know, you've got to be prepared for this journey, okay? Now, what's the first thing you do when you're going on a journey? I know what you do is, I guess the first thing is you get a passport. Now, your passport is actually Jesus. He's the passport. He gives you your passport, say, okay, the earth is the Lord's, don't worry about it, just go wherever I want, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Where? Anywhere. Where? Anywhere. Where? Anywhere. Where? Anywhere! I can't steer a stinking parked car! Get going! Where? See, that won't go on the tape. So, nobody in the New Testament ever prayed for geographical direction. If you're doing that, you are wrong. Okay? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was their commandment. And I told you the story quickly, right? Phone up Australia again, say, listen, Stuart, I'm coming back to Australia. Oh, when? I said, November the 22nd. Oh, great, I'm leaving for the Philippines on the 25th. Oh, good, I'll come with you. Okay. That was it. That was the plan. I was going to Australia. Then my buddy, I found out my buddy was going to the Philippines. He said, oh, I'll come with you. See, I found out when the Philippines was in the world, and I was told to go into all of it, I thought, oh, I can go to the Philippines then, because it's part of the all of it. Okay. You're all laughing instead of listening, but that's okay. Have you got yet? The all of it is where you start. When you start moving, he might give you a particular. When I got saved, God did not say, go to Kingston, New York. I began a journey. I met my wife on a ship. I got saved hitchhiking around America. I had my first daughter on a journey in China. And my first son on a journey in Israel. I had my son, Daniel, here. I had another daughter on a journey through England and another daughter on a journey through Israel, South Africa. Don't anybody try and convince me I don't know about journeys. I know journeys. The Bible said, blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage. That's a beautiful scripture. Okay, we're going to pack next. You got your passport? We need a pack. Get your suitcase. If you're like the Geralds, we use our suitcase for storage. Do you use your suitcases for storage? Most people put them away empty. I call that duh. So we've got our winter clothes in there in the summer and our summer clothes in there in the winter. So therefore, when I get my pack, you see, the first thing I do before I can pack is I have to unpack. Some of us need to unpack. We need to unpack. There's some rubbish and some junk and some unwanted stuff in our suitcase that's been stored in there for such a long time, we can't go on the journey because it's baggage, not luggage. It's baggage, not luggage. Remember the, what was it called, the Pilgrim's Progress? Remember you've seen, ever seen it, whether it's been, remember that huge bag? Yeah, that wasn't luggage. This is luggage these days. Right? That's luggage. Samsonite faith, you know? Perfect picture right there. There she is. Miss Samsonite. And what does it say? Life's a journey, figures. Success is how well you navigate the demands around you. It's pretty easy when you've only got luggage, but it's very hard when you've got baggage. So what do we have to unpack? We have to unpack sweaters is the first thing we need to unpack. Why? People are just too cold. Just too cold. We've got to warm up. We've got to be more friendly. This church is about everybody who isn't here, not everybody who is here. Is anybody listening to me? This church is about who isn't here. This church isn't about you. Some of you guys have been going to this church for years, longer than me. And yet you still come to church for you. Hello? What's wrong with this picture? So take your sweaters out. Throw them away. Wear something light. Wear something light. Don't go, well, brother, do you know the Lord? Exactly. That's my point. Unpack your machetes and your knives and all that stuff, you know. Don't think people learn by removing their ears. Unpack your attitude. Unpack your anger. Unpack your broken heart. Come on, saints, it's Sunday. It's pastor's appreciation, but I can say anything I want. Unpack, do you know how, you listen, I'm not talking to anybody in particular, okay? Promise you. Do you know how many of you came in this church with baggage and you're blaming me? You came in with it, man. Don't blame me. There's so much baggage that if you make a decision that Jesus, wait a minute, do the math. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Okay, Jesus came. Oh, so Vaughn can't fix it. Right. He's the one on the Emmaus.